This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, let me ask you, how's your immune system lately?
It's honestly in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But what if I told you that similar to our immune system, which produces more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a host of health benefits?
I'd gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I can attest to that personally. I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it's delicious.
I know that's
their
right.
Their grape juice is delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious.
Preach on.
Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
Best I've ever had.
I'm glad to hear that you liked it, but try not to eat the shampoo.
Too late. And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though. You said your immune system was in critical condition? I think I know why.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. We're going to talk about that later, but fret no more. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com and use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on all your purchases of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Remember, that promo code is TODAY. T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is Friday, February the 23rd. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis. Sorry. Right before we hit record, I threw a pin really loudly. And it crashed the floor. And Nicholas was like, all right, David, stop.
And you knew that would happen.
I'm Johnny Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. Leave us a good 5-star review on Amazon. Leave us a good 5-star review on Spotify or iTunes is the one I was trying to say. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars for any reason. We're going to leave some descriptions in the comment in the let me start over. Absolutely, I'm still thinking about the pin.
Absolutely nothing less.
Nothing less. Hashtag John through the pen.
Here we go. I got it. I'm not gonna cut this out. Jackson, leave all this in. You can leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere that you get your podcasting content from. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. We're gonna leave some links in the description. Wait for it, so you can do just that.
This has gone off the rails. Let me take us to the word of the Lord to try to get us back on track. The verse of the day today comes from Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water.
You know, we like to put a lot of God's wrath on the Jewish people, you know, because there's a lot of it there. There's a lot of God's people forsaking him, turning to idols, disobeying him, like it says, committing evils in the sight of the Lord, forgetting his grace and his goodness. And so it feels good for us as Christians to say, man, look how terrible Israel is. Look what they've done. Look at how God has forgotten them. And we forget that we are God's people. You know, we have been grafted in. And so a lot of these sins that we think are just for them, like I think we mentioned it earlier this week, this idolatry.
Yeah.
We forget that we are just as guilty, if not more so, because we actually mask ours, you know, and we refuse to repent because we refuse to acknowledge that it's even there.
Yeah.
You know, it says the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. A father disciplines his children that he loves. And we see that a lot in God's anger towards Israel, but ultimately their ultimate restoration as well. This Super Bowl wasn't a game. This was people who like Taylor Swift and people who don't like Taylor Swift, which is the most bizarre sentence I think that anybody could say about American sports.
Yep.
The Super Bowl this year was Taylor Swift fans versus non-Taylor Swift
fans. Swifties versus non-Swifties.
And I was like, she's not on the field at all.
Right.
She's in the stands, but people care more about her being in the stands watching this game than about the men playing football. After the halftime show, I remember you being like, all right, guys, basketball court is open. The room was empty.
Yeah, 100%.
Nobody watched the Super Bowl. There was one student.
No, I didn't see any of the third quarter.
No.
Write in and let us know what your Super Bowl party was like, if you watched the game or if you were just there for the food or the ads or Taylor Swift. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at ClearViewTodayShow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
Hashtag Clearview Today. The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian talk radio.
And listen, we know we're not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com. Or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here today on this beautiful Friday morning in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and host of today's show. Dr. Shah, first things first, I need to confess. Oh, this is hard. At the Super Bowl party, I tried the cupcake sandwich, the cupcake hack. You cut the cupcake in half, you put one on top, and then you eat it. Oof. You remember we talked about it yesterday?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And, how did we go?
I had three.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you had any of this, but one of the students, I think it was Riley, it was literally chocolate dip, and it was just graham crackers, and the dip was like molten chocolate.
It was like chocolate whipped glaze. Chocolate cookie dough kind of.
Do you remember that sketch show All That on Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
The chocolate show where just everything was made. That's what it was like. Oh. And I bit into it. I was like, this is too much.
When you're, you know, sometimes you're eating and you're in a Super Bowl party, your eating can get, you know, to a place where it's unchecked.
Did you have any of the very nice, dude? Very nice. I'm just gonna let you go with that one because that was a clean segue.
I appreciate that. Well, you know, that is the name of the message that we're referencing. But today we're beginning a brand new series here on the Clearview Today Show related to a series that you preached recently, Dr. Shah, that has been tremendously impactful both in our lives and the lives of those in our church and, you know, far and wide in our community. People are talking about this series.
Yes. And I've shared with you guys that I believe that this series marks a shift.
Yes.
In a good way. Mm-hmm. A shift in our church's life, our way of thinking. It's good. It's positive. It's Christ-honoring. I believe we're going to look back to this series as the time where we not only grew deeper in our relationship with God, but also we had a renewed sense of leadership, vision, hope, purpose, God's presence, all of that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so this series was very helpful to me.
What brought about the desire to do something different or to what brought about the desire for that shift, do you think?
Well, I was thinking about it last fall, that as we get into the new year, which is 2024, and this is the year we're going to be in our new building, still a few months away, I wanted people to start growing in their Christian life. Mm-hmm. I wanted to grow in the Christian life, but I wanted people to be able to grow in the Christian life and not just grow randomly or without any course and action, but grow with a purpose, grow with tangible results, mm-hmm. grow with like an app. You can track your growth.
Right.
And I thought about many passages in the Bible where it talks about growth in the Christian life. And the one that stuck out to me was 2 Peter, where Peter tells the believers to start adding to their faith virtue or excellence, to excellence knowledge, which is wisdom and discernment, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. Start adding these things to your faith. And I felt like if we can track our spiritual lives on this spectrum from faith to love, we can see where we are. One, we have to be very honest with the biblical truth. Like, this is what it means. This is what it means in its context. This is what it means in its entirety. This is also what it means in light of the rest of Scripture. So it's not like we're taking some this passage and just coming up with an odd theology. No, it needs to ring true across the Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So it needs to be true to the Word, Word of God, but then it needs to be quantifiable.
Well, I agree 100% wholeheartedly, and I love that you did point that out, that it has to be biblical. It has to be biblical. Founded on the Bible.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I feel like a lot of Christians, maybe even I would say the majority of Christians, will use spirituality and almost like a pseudo holiness to mask laziness. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to keep track of my spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. I don't want to think and mark down how encouraging was I today, how virtuous was I today. I would rather just say, listen, God doesn't want me to do that. Just grow little by little.
Yeah, it's not about what you do, it's what's been done for you.
Right.
And I get that. I totally understand what they're saying, but that's not what is being said here. It's an imperative. Mm-hmm. Add to your faith.
Yes.
Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. So you have to do something. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the cliche, which is, it's already been done. Yes, my salvation is done. In fact, everything that I need to live the Christian life from faith to love has been done for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has been given to me. But now I am called to work out what has been worked in.
Yeah. And so many people have that that frustration when you think about growing in your faith, growing in Christ. I understand that I need to do that, but what does that look like? How do I grow in Christ? Do I just try to mean it harder? Do I try to just, love God more? But I love that this is a quantifiable thing. How are you doing in these areas? And that one leads to the other. They build off of another, this list that Peter gives us.
The word is psoriasis. Sounds like a disease, but it's not. It's a rhetorical device. Psoriasis means building on each other. Mm-hmm. So you build on faith, you build excellence. On excellence, you build the next quality, and on and on you go, till finally it's love.
Yeah. Well, I love the whole purpose behind the series as well, because it's the perfect balance between biblical and theological, but also with very, very real application, you know? And it seems like a lot of preaching sort of wavers between those two extremes, where it's like super theological, but I can't really apply it, or it's really, really applicable, but it's still kind of surface.
And I think a lot of preaching has become that, one or the other. If you want to talk about just applicable, think about Rick Warren. Rick Warren, Bill Hybels. Mm-hmm. Rick Warren, I can say that. I mean, he's done some great things, and his book, Purpose Driven Life, has touched so many. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, there was the Purpose Driven Church.
Right.
These books have impacted church life. They've impacted millions of Christians across the globe.
Right, right.
Okay. So I do want to give credit where credit is due. Having said that, he popularized a form of preaching that I don't think in the long run has helped the church. Mm-hmm. Okay. I followed Rick Warren for several years. I studied his book. I studied his messages. I studied his church growth conferences. I mean, I've listened to some of his tapes, each one 20 times. That's how much time I've spent on that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing he would always emphasize was topical preaching. And what he would say is that when you study the Bible, just or preach the Bible or teach the Bible, just find the topic and just go anywhere in the Bible, find the verses that are relevant to that topic and use them.
Yeah.
So that's topical preaching.
That's what he would say. Gotcha. So think about the word love. Go everywhere in the Bible, find the word love or the concept of love, and build a message around
it. You could sort of Frankenstein yourself a sermon.
Yeah. Mm. And he would, and there's a point that he has, mm-hmm. of course, because he would often say, well, if you have a problem with that, then you have a problem with systematic theology, because systematic theology is simply doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It goes everywhere and finds a verse or a passage that talks about that particular subject.
But is that the gotcha that he thinks it is? Like, is it feasible to say that we do have a problem with systematic theology if that's the case? Or is he mistaken?
No, I think he is, I hate to say it, he's dumbing it down.
Right.
Mm.
Because, yes, in a sense, systematic theology does do that. But systematic theology is also written by people who are hopefully well-versed in biblical theology.
Mm-hmm.
Some are not, I think. Some are so rigidly bound to their system that they don't take the time to examine, is that verse really saying that? Is that passage really saying that? They're so bound by that that dogma,
right,
that they don't take the time to really study that passage in its context.
Mm-hmm.
So, but most systematic theologians are very good exegetes.
Yeah. Mm.
So for him to say, just go and find all the passages on, say, self-control and preach on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's topical preaching.
Okay.
But no different than systematic, and I would say I disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another extreme, which is just deal with theology, guys. Just teach theology. That's what people need. That's the cry of the hour, teach theology. And I think that depends on your audience. If your audience is so tuned in and so advanced that they're ready to take in what you're giving them, this highly nutritious but tasteless food, you say, oh, are you calling theology tasteless? I'm just making a point here.
Right, right.
No, it doesn't have to be. There's some great theologians who are powerful preachers. But if you're not careful, the person who is newly saved and young in their faith will just, in time, just drift away, or yeah, very quickly drift away, because they cannot eat what you're putting in front of them.
Mm-hmm. So those are the two extremes. And so then the temptation is to say, let's do 50-50, 50 of this, 50 of this, and we got a good series.
Mm.
But I think what sets this On Track series is it's 100% of both.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not compromising one to make way for the other.
Yeah.
Because you can and should have all of both if you really know the passage and you've studied it well.
Yeah, it took some time for me to study it. Well, after the first week, once I decided and I talked to you guys about it, I was like, okay, I think I can do this. I know the list of virtues.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was like, oh, wait, I got to read on 2 Peter a little bit more.
Well, that's what I was going to. Why 2 Peter? Because 2 Peter seems like one of those kind of weird esoteric books that I don't really think about very often.
Yeah, yeah. Somewhere there with Jude. Yeah, I at first I thought, okay, no big deal, I can do this. And then when I began to read it, and I realized the complexities in that book and how different authors have disagreed with each other, and how even the doctrine of eternal security is disagreed over in 2 Peter, then I was like, okay, do you think this was a good idea? Maybe not. So I spent those first couple of weeks really digging in and diving deep to understand the core of what Peter is talking about. Who are his opponents? How is he trying to counter them?
Mm-hmm.
Is he telling his readers that those false teachers are lost? Is he telling them that if they were saved at one time, now they can be lost? Does that mean they can be lost too? I mean, it's just so many things.
And it's also, you have the disadvantage of most people in academia, they have months to craft their arguments and write their books and draft it and send it to
Saturday
you.
Saturday coming you like full speed ahead.
Yeah, you have seven
days.
The week
is moving like a freight train.
Yeah.
You have 7 days to research the book, research the topic, the theology, the doctrine, craft it out, like think on it, then craft it out. You know, you have to do that in 7 days. And then once that seventh day is done, it starts over for the next sermon.
Right.
That's crazy.
Right. So, But the reward is tremendous. And we have seen the reward of this series where people's lives are changed.
Yes.
Because, as you know, Peter is not just talking about godly living or spiritual life or growth in Christ. He's also talking about all things that pertain to life and godliness, which means your everyday life and your spiritual life are both included in this letter. So I felt like, what better series to do at the start of the new year and at this juncture in our church's life than this one?
Yeah.
Where we can examine our spiritual life, definitely, primary, but also our personal lives, whether it is losing weight or working out or eating better. And I was going through that time as well in my life, so I was like, this can apply here too.
Yeah.
True. Very
perfect
true.
Timing. I mean, I didn't plan out that way, but it became a great help to me in my personal eating habits and diet and all that.
Structured around that idea of keeping track of things in your life, like a tracker that you would have on your phone, like a calorie counter or workout app or something like that, where you can log your progress. And can we just appreciate for a second that this is Peter that we're talking about? So many times I feel like Peter gets like...
Peter's just a dumb fisherman, fellas.
He gets reduced to like a good old country boy.
Yeah, loudmouth Peter.
But just like you said, Dr. Shah, there are scholars who have been writing about this and studying this for years. And this is the same Peter. The same Peter that's giving us these deep, deep theological concepts that help us grow in our faith.
Yeah.
And his motivation was that he was seeing his death coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He could see the end near, and he was seeing believers getting off track, and he had to address it before it was too late. Mm-hmm. He says here several things. He says here, let me just read this one. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me."
Wow.
So he knows his death is coming, and these believers are going off their deep end, off the deep end, and he has to say something to them.
It's such a complete picture of Peter, too, because I think in his time with Jesus, we often see him, I don't want to say being selfish, but we often see him just acting without thinking.
Impulsive.
Being very impulsive, which is just a very self-centered, I guess, trait. Mm-hmm. But then the full picture of how Jesus uses him, because here at his death, we see that transformation where he's like, with my last few breaths, I want to
let me warn you.
Yes.
Let me warn you. Let me help you. Let me get you back on track.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they were stumbling. In 2 Peter 1:10, it says, if you do these things, you will never patayo, which is stumble, or make a blunder. 2 Peter 2:15, they have forsaken the right way, gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. The word therefore, gone astray, is planao, which is to wander away. 2 Peter 3:17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. And here you have two Greek words. First is the word ekpesete, which is from ekpipto, which means fall off or lose one's way. And the second is the word sunapakthentes, which is coming from sunapago, translated, be carried off along with, or being led astray.
And there's tons of Christians today who, even if they won't admit it, are being led astray.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a world that is actively seeking to undermine Christianity and to lead Christians off the beaten
path.
Right.
Yeah. That's right. Now, in this book, in this letter, Peter is asking some important questions. And I want us to ask the same questions to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the first question that he is asking, or he's posing to those who are reading, is that, can you see the power of your desires?
Mm.
Because the false teachers are giving in to temptations. And he's asking them, can you see the power of your desires? So in 2 Peter 1:4, he says that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through
lust.
Lust. Mm. The word is epithumia, found about four times in this little book. 2 Peter 2:10, especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, they are presumptuous, self-willed. But the word I want to focus on is from the previous sentence, which is lust of uncleanness. Again, epithumia.
Yeah.
2 Peter 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. And then 2 Peter 3:3 is knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own epithumia, which is
their lusts.
Their lusts. So the first question I believe that Peter posed them and is posing us, can you see the power of your desires?
Like if you're at a Super Bowl party and you see a table just absolutely overflowing with cupcakes.
Full of treats.
And you gotta try the cupcake sandwich because of the radio show. And
you know what you should have done?
What's that?
Not even gone in that direction.
Just flee.
Flee. Yeah.
Flee like David. Or Joseph. Just flee from the temptation. Yep. But I wandered over. I was like, well, let me fix the baby a plate. I'll just have a little nibble. Well, it's powerful desires.
Yeah. You should listen to what James says in James 1:14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his
own desires.
Nah, it's not in the cupcake.
it's not the cupcake's fault.
It's your own desires, yes, and right. You're enticed. And when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, brings forth
death.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that in this little tiny little book, 2 Peter, the word for lust is mentioned so many times.
Mm. Yeah.
True.
Seems much like our world today.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things, like we can laugh about it, but like even the power of, or even the inability to not control your own stomach. Like if you can't control that, your own sweet tooth, think about what greater temptations you'll fall prey to.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
like,
right.
It's a joke, but it's also harboring something much darker.
Right.
Which is we all have the propensity to be led astray, no matter how strong of a Christian you think you are.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, here's the second question. Know the power of your desires. But the second question is, who are you listening to in your life?
Mm, wow.
Right? Peter's listeners were listening to these false teachers who were promoting these desires, these epithumia.
Mm-hmm.
2 Peter 2:1. And Peter compares to the Old Testament false prophets. He said that, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destructions. So who are you listening to? That's another question.
Well, it's funny because I feel like Christians often don't even realize that they're listening to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone's talking about God, they're probably pretty good.
Mm.
So I'm just going to listen to them.
Yeah.
Right.
And they have a stage, they have a platform, they have a microphone. So,
right.
You know, they clearly are smarter than me.
Yeah.
Right.
I think a lot of people don't even clock that they're listening to someone.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, nobody tells me how to live my life. I'm the boss of my own life. I do what I want. But all of us are influenced by the world around us. All of us are influenced by the people that we associate with. You become like the people you surround yourself with.
Think about this thing we stare at and give most of our lives to every day. Like teenagers on TikTok are calling themselves influencers, meaning they influence people. And they do. People are listening to these young people who have never even, some of them are still in high school.
I mean, what happens when I click to see a person's content? I'm now following them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're speaking into my life for good or for bad.
Right.
And I don't know if even they understand the true power of what's speaking into other people's lives like that.
Yes,
speaking your morals and your convictions into someone else's life.
Yeah,
that's correct. So we talked about seeing the power of desires in our lives, and then we talked about seeing false teachers in our lives. But then there's another question, which is, are you living by your new nature in Christ?
Mm, true. True.
All right? Are you living by your new nature? Because you should be. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature.
Mm.
So God has given us his divine nature, and we're going to focus on that a little more later on, but all I want to say is, are you living by your new nature in Christ? Because that's very important in fighting against this temptation.
Yeah, and it's hard to answer because so many times we want to say that I did it, I achieved it,
right.
I overcame. Maybe with God's help, but I overcame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
rather than saying it was Christ who overcame it. I'm the vessel that he used to overcome this obstacle.
Yeah.
But he's the one that did it.
On our own, we are naturally bent toward an unchecked life. We are naturally bent toward a life that is out of proportion and given into desires. But it's not just us. If we are saved, if we're believers, we are, just like you said, Dr. Shaw, partakers of the divine nature. Right. It's Christ in us.
Yeah, and we'll focus on what it does not mean, maybe later on,
sure,
another show. But here, all I want us to know is that we are connected to Christ. Mm. That's where we are partakers of the divine nature, because fully God became fully man.
That's right.
If you enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Become part of our Clearview Today Show family as we seek to impact the nations with the gospel of Jesus. John, any thoughts you want to leave our listeners with this weekend?
Just make sure that you find yourself a church family if you're in the area, in the Triangle area. I know a great one. It's called Clearview Church right in Henderson, North Carolina. Spoiler alert, that is where the Clearview Today Show is filmed and broadcast from. Next week, we are going to be going through this series. We're going to especially be talking about the new nature in Christ. You know, God doesn't just save us and then leave us to live our lives however we want. Just hope you make it. I'll see you at the end. No, he gives us that nature. We're going to talk about that a little bit on Monday's episode.
That's awesome. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.